This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris today embarked on her first trip as vice president and a visit to Guatemala and Mexico. One of her goals is to figure out how to reduce the number of migrants into the United States from those countries, as well as from Honduras and El Salvador. Harris is looking to reach agreements for more cooperation on border security and economic development to keep people in their home countries. Harris is meeting with the Guatemalan president on Monday and Mexico's president on Tuesday. In addition, she's expected to meet community leaders, innovators, and entrepreneurs in Guatemala. And while in Mexico, she's participating in a conversation with female entrepreneurs and holding a roundtable with labor workers. Ahead of her visits to the two countries, she has emphasized the need for increased employment opportunities and better living conditions. She announced $310 million in U.S. aid to support refugees and deal with food shortages. She also recently won commitments from U.S. companies and organizations to invest in Central American countries to promote economic opportunity and job training. The U.S. also last week said it would send a combined 1.5 million doses of coronavirus vaccines to Guatemala and Mexico. Peruvian voters faced a choice between two polarizing populist candidates during Sunday's presidential runoff. The election comes as the coronavirus pandemic continues to batter the South American country, fostering anger among citizens and increasing the threat of social and political turbulence. The political novice Pedro Castillo and Keiko Fujimori, making her third run for the presidency, have both promised coronavirus vaccines for all. Pre-election polls put the candidates in a dead heat in the runoff. The winner will succeed President Francisco Sagasti on July 28th. VOA News. Mexicans headed to the polls as well on Sunday to vote for a new lower house of Congress, state governors, and local lawmakers. The race is seen as a referendum on President Andrés Manuel López Obrador's policies and efforts to shake up Mexico's institutions. All 500 seats in the lower house, 15 state governorships, and thousands of local leadership positions are up for grabs, with some 93.5 million Mexicans eligible to vote. The elections come amid the COVID-19 pandemic and vaccine rollout, as well as record criminal violence. Since taking office in 2018 after a landslide victory, López Obrador has expanded the role of the state in the energy industry and radically cut back on the cost of government to channel resources to the poor and his priority infrastructure projects. In the process, he's eroded institutional checks and balances and frequently criticized autonomous bodies, including the Bank of Mexico, prompting critics to sound the alarm about a dangerous centralization of power. The government of Burkina Faso has declared 3 days of mourning following an attack that left at least 160 people dead late last week in the northern village of Sohan. The International Committee for the Red Cross, noting that local hospitals are overwhelmed, told VOA it responded Sunday morning to a request for medical supplies in Dori, a town in northern Burkina Faso. The attack happened overnight Friday in the village of Sohan, located in Yaga province near the border with Niger and the country's Sahel region. The number of dead and injured continues to rise. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack, although analysts say it could be the work of the Islamic State in the Greater Sahara. The attack is the deadliest since the conflict between Burkina Faso and armed groups linked to Al-Qaeda and Islamic State group began in 2015. David Dushman, the last surviving Soviet soldier involved in the liberation of the Nazi death camp at Auschwitz, has died. He was 98. The Jewish community of Munich and Upper Bavaria said Sunday that Dushman died on Saturday in a Munich hospital. As a young Red Army soldier, Dushman drove a tank that helped to flatten the fence around the notorious death camp with his tank on January 27, 1945. After the war, he helped to train the Soviet Union's women's national fencing team for 4 decades. Later in life, Dushman visited schools to tell students about the war and the horrors of the Holocaust. There are no details available yet on funeral arrangements. Survivors weren't immediately known of. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.